and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, Governor Wanker, you with the wrong badgers, my friend. Hello, everybody. Good morning, Madison. But big shout out to our friend Ed Schultz, who did an amazing job last night covering the protests in Madison. I should not have started reading this letter this morning from Charles, the right winger. It's entitled "Wisconsin Liberals Starve Children." Yes.
What?
Mm-hmm. What's going on up there in Madison? It looks like Egypt and Greece combined. Governor Walker is trying to keep public union members from being laid off and furloughed. And what happens? What happened to your new congenial tone of civility and cooperation on the part of progressive liberal Dems up there? What an ungrateful bunch of public union thugs you have up there.
Thugs.
They should be thanking Governor Walker. He's saving the jobs of public union members and demonstrating to the other 49 state governors how to get started on the deficit solution.
And
he's helpfully included Charles would like to recommend the following article by Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, because he's a noted thinker.
All right. Here's the thing. Did Governor Walker not think anyone was going to notice? He didn't think this might draw a little attention so that people would realize that he completely ginned up this crisis as a way to union bust? Why, guess who I happen to have on the phone? Thea Lee, who is the Deputy Chief of Staff for the AFL-CIO. Good morning, Thea.
Good morning, Stephanie.
So nice to talk to you this morning. I'm, as you can imagine, I'm a little fired up and ready to go this morning.
I can hear that.
I mean, I don't know if you have, you know, read all the details of Wisconsin in particular, Thea, but this is ridiculous. It is easily provable that he was handed a surplus. He turned it into a deficit. He gave away $140 million in new spending, and now he wants the working people of Wisconsin to pay for it.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Stephanie, and we're seeing this all over the country where these right-wing governors and legislatures are turning on union members, working class, middle class folks to pay the price for their own bad policies and to try to use this tough budget times and economic crisis as an excuse to crush unions. That's
right.
The worst thing we can do. It's absolutely the wrong direction to be going.
Right. I mean, you know, and sometimes they show their hand. I don't know if you saw the clip of Karl Rove literally saying, oh, we'll see if the unions keep losing membership. This is what's going to happen is basically Republicans will win. There'll be no vote turnout. I mean, it's pretty, what's the word? I mean, it's pretty transparent what they're doing.
It's really stark, and it is about politics, and it's about payback to the corporations and the CEOs who funded many of the campaigns of these right-wing nutballs. But, yeah. I mean, this is what we're seeing right now is that I think that the right-wing sees an opportunity now to come in and go for the jugular and to destroy what's left of the labor movement. And, you know,
yeah.
What we need right now is more balance. We need more. We need to build up the middle class, not tear it down. And unions are a key part of that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the thing is, we all have eyes, Thea. We can see what's happening in Madison. It is peaceful. It is, it is really, I mean, touching, I think, and inspiring that, I mean, the governor's, you know, obviously even him trying to divide people by unions. I mean, the unions that supported him, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was so transparent what he did. Did he not think anyone was going to see this? That, you know, magically he claims they have $140 million deficit, and he just gave away $140 million as soon as he came into his special interests.
And it's wonderful to see everybody standing together in Madison. It's really a heartwarming sight. It's a beautiful peaceful crowd, and people are coming together. They're speaking with their own voices, and all the unions are standing together. It's really a great sight.
Well, that's right. I mean, it's just so it's just so galling to me, though, Thea, that he clearly thought, okay, the unions that supported me, I'm going to reward them. I'm going to punish the ones that didn't. And explain to us, because a lot of people don't even know, you know, maybe lay people know what collective bargaining is. But I mean,
mm-hmm.
particularly a place like Wisconsin, which is such a proud history of unions, I mean, explain what he's trying to do.
Sure. Well, he's trying to take away the rights that workers have fought for over many, many decades, not just in this country, but all around the world. And, you know, people should know that under international human rights law and the International Labor Organization, the right to join together with your coworkers and bargain collectively, to organize a union, to form your own union, free of interference from your government or your employer, is a basic internationally recognized human right. And workers in the United States of America, a wealthy country, an industrialized country, ought to be able to exercise that right without being tossed in jail or having those rights taken away. And certainly in the public sector, you know, we recognize all collective bargaining is that instead of workers having to go individually, one at a time, to their boss and say, may I please have a raise? Can I have safety equipment? Can I have a bathroom break? That workers can come together with their coworkers and go together and say, hey, we, you know, this is what we need to do our job, to provide the best possible services to the public and so on. And that is just, it's a basic human right, and it's something which provides better services to the public and ensures that there's balance in that relationship.
Well, as I say, you know, this is just, I guess, the first front in this battle, because, as you know, this is going to go on across the country with Republican governors. So obviously a lot of people are watching this. But, you know, this is a dramatic shift for Wisconsin, right? I mean, they passed collective bargaining in 1959. It was the birthplace of the National Union representing all non-federal public employees. In addition to eliminating collective bargaining, legislation would also make public workers pay half the cost of their pensions and at least 12.6% of their health care coverage. And I love Republican leaders say they think Wisconsin residents will be pleased with the savings. I mean, here are workers that had zero to do with this deficit that has completely to do with Governor Walker giving it away to special interests, and now they're expected to pay for it.
That's right. And Stephanie, I think the other hypocrisy here is that when we talk about Wall Street or the corporations and so on, a lot of the pundits and the experts say, well, you can't, you know, there's a sanctity of a contract. You can't break the contract. But when it comes to working people who have worked all their lives, who've contributed to their own health care and their own pensions, you know, they're paying for that out of lower wages. All of a sudden people turn around and say, oh, let's just take that away, as though this, you know, this is the product of many years of sacrifice, of many years of hard work. It's a contract between workers and their employer, in this case the government, and it shouldn't be so easy to take that away from workers.
Right. Well, I mean, how do you think this is going to play out? Because, as I said, I don't know if, you know, the governor was prepared for this. You know, you do something like this, it begs scrutiny, and now he's got it. Now it is very clear that he is the one single-handedly in record time that created this deficit and now is expecting, you know, the workers of Wisconsin unfairly to pay for it. So, how, you know, obviously the Democratic legislators skip town, I mean, because they said this is tearing the state apart, and they just want, obviously, the right to negotiate, talk to the governor. How is this going to play out now, do you think?
We'll see. We'll see. But I think it's an extraordinarily important moment, and not just for Wisconsin, but for the whole country, because what we're seeing is ordinary people, middle-class people, working people, standing up and saying, enough is enough. We didn't cause this crisis. We're not going to pay the entire price. Let's find a more fair solution to figuring out how to get our budget into control, and let's make sure everybody's paying their fair share. And so the people of Wisconsin have given a resounding no to the governor's outrageous and overreaching demands. And we hope people around the country in Indiana and Missouri and Maine, where they're facing similar battles, will be inspired by that and will also push back.
Well, and Thea, let me just say, first of all, let's not co-opt the governor's language and call it a crisis, because it isn't a crisis.
Right. No, you're
That's
absolutely
the problem.
Right.
Trust me, I'm not here in California. This is a crisis. Governor Schwarzenegger left with all our loot. But, you know, that's the problem, is Wisconsin has managed much better than most states. And, in fact, like I say, these aren't, you know, facts that can be disputed, Thea. It's, you know, the nonpartisan legislative Fiscal Bureau released a memo detailing how the state would end the 2009-2011 budget biennium with a budget surplus. If there is a deficit, again, like I say, he just caused it. He should fix it, not the workers.
Exactly. So he's created a crisis in order to turn around and punish a political enemy. It's, you know, it's payback time. It's not good, solid economic policy that makes sense.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate you enduring me this morning. I was, yes, I had to, right out of the box, I was just, got all this pent up, but I appreciate you, you know, explaining labor issues, because I think a lot of people don't get it. They, like, you know, I read that right-wing letter you heard, and it's just, this is what you're hearing 24/7 from right-wing radio and Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
Union thugs. Oh, look what they're demanding. Look at, they made this mess, blah, 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 you know?
Just take it back to basics, which is, you know, should Americans have that right to join together and form their own union of their own choice, mm-hmm. elect their own leaders, and sit at the bargaining table with their bosses and bargain collectively in a reciprocal process for yeah. good wages and benefits. That's how we built the middle class. That's how we're going to hold on to the middle class.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Thea, thank you so much. Thea Lee from the AFL-CIO, appreciate it so much.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Bye-bye. All right, thank you. There she goes, Thea Lee.
Hooray.
Yeah, we apparently, according to the right, we ought to be thanking him, thanking Governor Walker. It's like thanking someone for, I don't know, look, I could have stabbed you, I just punched you instead. It's like, see?
Yeah.
He's going, oh, I'm just trying, I don't want to have to fire them. You don't have to do any of it if you get the money back from your cronies.
Exactly.
There's more from Charles real quick before we take a break. Yes. Be careful up there, he writes. I heard your local union thugs hired and imported some out-of-state thugs. Oh, we'll hear this in right-wing world, I'm sure.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We've already heard
mm-hmm.
it, actually.
Mm-hmm. To join the union gangs hanging in and around your Capitol building up there. You have televisions, all of y'alls. You have eyes. Is that what it looks like to you? Does that look like thugs hanging out?
No, does not. Mm-hmm. Looks like normal, everyday Americans.
They may not care who they beat up on. I'd hate to see your Madison reporters, quote-unquote, and journalists, quote-unquote, come under attack like their fellow peers came under attack in Egypt and Bahrain. From what we're seeing on TV, it could be harmful to your health to be out in public, especially around the Wisconsin State Capitol building in Madison. And then he helpfully recommends the following article by Rush Limbaugh, so I can have a better understanding of really what's happening there.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to get a migraine that may cause me to start speaking gibberish in a moment.
Oh, stop it.
It's a good story. It's a happy story. That reporter did not have a stroke. She had a migraine that caused her to speak gibberish. And I'm just saying, if I get one more right-wing letter, I get that. I get that from Billy in Texas when he calls my right-wing love muffin. I get that headache in my eye that causes me to sputter incomprehensibly.
I don't know that that's a real migraine. A real migraine, you wouldn't be able to function.
All right.
Just
I may get there today. 18 minutes.
A migraine made me blind temporarily.
You just gin that up for ratings. The whole Chris is going blind show. All right. We have Representative Bruce Braley, John Colbert, mm-hmm. Colbert, who is a reporter for the Mic.
That's right.
Our station there in Madison. The Stop Beck guy.
Angelo from
Angelo.
Stop Beck, yes.
All right. So we got a big Friday show. Stay tuned. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your information slut. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. It's the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. Did you see how I wedged that in with a sledgehammer yesterday? And
yes.
Interviewing that congressman? He's working on the teleworking bill. It's working
John Sarbanes.
From home. I'm way ahead of my time. Stay at home. Use GoToMeeting, for God's sakes. Why are you leaving your house? Spending money on traveling and idols.
Sheesh.
Whatever.
Sheesh. Whatever it is people do when they leave their house, I wouldn't know. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
Good. Go ahead,
honey.
I just
wanted to call and let you know that whatever they're telling you about the thugs here in Madison isn't true. I work right on the square, and one of the best parts of yesterday's demonstrations were the firefighters' unions that showed up and played bagpipes marching around the square.
I heard about that, and I saw it. Yeah, I saw it. You know, Jim, that's the thing. Do they think that we're stupid or we don't have eyes? You can see what's happening on your television. You can hear from countless people that are there. It is peaceful. It is the most patriotic thing I've seen in a long time.
People are bringing their kids out to show them what democracy is all about and how to be peaceful and demonstrate at the same time.
I mean, it really is. You know, for him to say, oh, we got to, mobilize the National Guard, and, you got all these people on the right talking about violence. It's like, oh, please. I mean, go ahead.
I would be afraid for guys like Limbaugh or O'Reilly to show up because I don't think that they could handle the debate here.
Yeah, I don't think so either. All right, Jim, thanks. Yeah, it's just name-calling. I don't think I've heard a right-winger in recent memory say union without saying the word thug after it. Yeah. And the fact, I'm sure you've seen the story by now. I mean, Rachel covered it last night, but does he think he can hide from this? Governor Walker, look, here's the... this, I believe, Madison.com, you can read all of the information. But this is all public record, Chris. It's all public record.
Absolutely.
Governor Walker is not making tough choices. He's making political choices, and they're designed not to balance budgets, but to improve his political position and that of his party. It's for this reason the governor claims Madison is in such deep financial trouble that Wisconsinites should view this as a crisis moment. In fact, just like every other state in the country, Wisconsin is managing in a weak economy. The difference is Wisconsin's managing better, or at least it had been managing better until after Walker took over.
Yeah.
Again, demonstrably true. It's managed so well, I mentioned this to our union friend, that the nonpartisan Legislative Fiscal Bureau recently released a memo detailing how the state will end the 2009-2011 budget biennium with a budget surplus to the extent there is an imbalance. Walker claims there's a $137 million deficit. It's not because of a drop in revenues or increases in the cost of state employee contracts, benefits, or pensions. It's because Walker and his allies pushed through, weirdly, this is ironic, Chris, $140 million. That's almost exactly the same amount that he says,
Isn't it ironic?
In new spending for special interest groups in January. If the legislature was simply to rescind Walker's new spending schemes or delay their implementation until after they're offset by fresh revenues, the crisis, quote-unquote, would not exist. The Fiscal Bureau memo, readers can access that, by the way, at Wisconsin.gov. It makes it clear that Walker did not inherit a budget that required a repair bill. The facts are not debatable. Unfortunately, Walker has a political agenda that relies on the fantasy. This is a fine American that wrote this. Unfortunately, Walker has a political agenda that relies on the fantasy that Wisconsin is teetering on the brink of bankruptcy. Remember when George Bush said, quit, there's a Social Security crisis. We have to privatize it now.
That didn't work.
Yeah, as Hal Sparks says, old people would be eating eye sockets and ass cat food right now.
Did you just bleep the wrong word?
Yes.
Okay.
Walker is not interested in balanced budgets, efficient government, or meaningful job creation. Walker is interested in gaming the system to benefit his political allies and campaign contributors. To achieve that end, he's proposed a $137 billion budget repair bill that intends to use as a vehicle to undermine the long-established collective bargaining rights of public employee unions. One state representative said the governor's bill is designed not with the purpose of getting the state's finances ordered, but as an assault on Wisconsin's working families and political payback against unions who didn't support Governor Walker.
Yep.
Number two, paper schemes that redirect state tax dollars to wealthy individuals and corporate interests that have been sources of campaign funding for Walker's fellow Republicans and special interest campaigns on their behalf. The governor legislators aligned with him over the past month have given away special interest favors to every lobby group that came asking, creating zero jobs in the process, but increasing the deficit by more than $100 million. Why, almost $140 million, the same amount he says the working folk need to pay for. Bottom line is evident to anyone who cares to pay attention, not to spend, but to budget figures. Walker is manufacturing a fiscal crisis, quote-unquote, in order to achieve political goals. Good one on Madison. Representative Bruce Fraley next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She is a lovely person. Warm, intelligent, just kind of gullible. Like every word out of her mouth makes you want to be like, oh, honey.
That is so true. 34 minutes after the hour. All right. Lots to get to this morning. We've got a big budget battle going on in Washington in addition to all the stuff happening in Madison. Representative Bruce Fraley from the great state of Iowa joins us now. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. Happy New Year.
Oh, well, thank you. I know we haven't talked in a little bit.
We haven't talked since I became the poster child for Citizens United.
Oh, no. What do you mean?
Well, they spent more money against me a single group, $2 million by the American Future Fund, than was spent against any other candidate in the country.
Wow.
And
congratulations.
The U.S. Chamber piled on, so I went from a 30-point win in 2008 to a 2-point win in 2010.
Wow.
Oh, boy. Boy, oh boy.
Well, we're glad we still have you.
I know, I'm glad I'm still able to say good morning, Congressman.
Yeah, well, anybody who tries to tell you that secret donors don't matter in politics, give them my number.
Yeah. Well, listen, I feel like it's the same fight going on everywhere, Congressman. I mean, what's happening in Wisconsin, it is, they literally, Karl Rove went on TV and said, hey, if there's less union members, then we win.
Absolutely.
Republicans win. The less, if we can squash them, then, so that's what I think. There's, there's progressive infrastructure. I mean, there's so many issues that sort of dovetail in this, isn't there?
Well, it's the Republicans' job-killing budget bill. They are so fond of using that phrase, but you look at what's happening with their budget, and it's killing jobs in the state of Iowa. We're going to lose 10,000 transportation and infrastructure jobs because of cuts in this bill.
Yeah.
And you just go right down the list through education, energy, and they're making no bones about it. We were wearing buttons yesterday with your favorite phrase on it, so be it.
Yeah. I mean, it really is stunning. And that's, again, I can't remember where I read the, there's a, a nonpartisan report out basically saying the president's budget creates X number of jobs and the Republican budget kills what, maybe a million jobs? I mean, it's, I thought they ran on creating jobs.
They did, and that was clearly the message that voters sent, but we haven't had a vote on job creation since we got here this year.
Yeah. Well, Congressman, I mean, it seems to me that, this whole question about who's going to win here, the Republican establishment or the Tea Party, the answer so far is the Tea Party.
It's playing out that way every day here on the House floor.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so now, of course, they're talking about a, government shutdown. John Boehner's trying to say nobody is saying that. And, of course, there is on record several Republicans that say they are for a shutdown.
Yes, and we all know what will happen if the government shuts down. It will be chaos and it will be disaster and everyone will complain and then people will say, I told you so.
How is this going to play out? So, I the expectation, of course, widespread, no final compromise will be reached before the March 4th deadline, leaving, lawmakers in the White House to work out a stopgap bill. So, of course, Boehner says he will not accept a stopgap bill. What's going to happen here?
Well, I think it's going to be a showdown, a standoff, and sadly, we have a district work period next week, so that means when we come back, all of this will be compressed into a last-minute, furious fight, and that's when the worst decisions get made here in Washington.
I thought it was an unfortunate choice of words that he said, read my lips, we're going to cut spending.
Yes.
The last Republican that used that. That turned out to be a lie as well.
That's exactly right.
Because, that's the thing. Is he bluffing? He's also said, of course, he doesn't want a government shutdown. That's the problem, Congressman, do not seem to me like they have come to negotiate in any kind of goodwill, just like Governor Walker in Wisconsin. They're not negotiating in good faith. In some cases, they're not negotiating at all.
No, the atmosphere right now, as we debate these amendments on the continuing budget resolution, it's a feeding frenzy, and it's almost like my tax cut's bigger than your tax cut.
Right.
And so it's not about using common sense, because there certainly is a lot of opportunity to make reductions in spending in all these federal agencies, but it should be done deliberately and thoughtfully rather than just saying, let's gut programs because then we can add another dollar to the board.
Yeah. Take a listen to John Boehner yesterday.
We have some Democrats here in Capitol Hill threatening to shut down the government rather than to cut spending and to follow the will of the American people.
Who? Can you name one Democrat that has said we want to shut down the government? Have you talked to them?
I've been quite busy here this week and talked to a lot of Democrats. I don't remember anyone mentioning that.
Yeah. And meanwhile, again, as I say, you have any number of Republicans on record as saying they would be for a shutdown if, they don't get the spending cuts they want.
And forgive me, but when I was voting against extending the tax cuts to the wealthiest Americans, which would add significantly to our deficit,
yep.
How did these folks vote? Can you refresh refresh my memory
yeah,
on that.
Yeah, and you cannot, as I've said over and over, Congressman, you cannot have a serious discussion about cutting the deficit without letting the those tax cuts for the rich sunset. I mean, and that's
right.
All you're doing.
It's a strange new world we live in here.
Yeah, I'll say. I don't know if you've been watching a lot in Wisconsin, but I mean, you know, that's going to be obviously that's the first front, but it's happening all over the country. That it is just stunning. I mean, I don't know if you've had a chance to look at the details, but Governor Walker created this deficit himself in record time by giving away money to special interests, and now he wants to use it to squash unions.
Well, you know, we feel a special kinship in Iowa to the state of Wisconsin because we used to be part of the Wisconsin Territory, and then we beat them into statehood, and they've been bitter about it ever since. But having said that, I am doing everything I can to convince my friends in Wisconsin that Iowa is a resort destination, and if they're looking for a place to come, we gladly welcome them across the bridge into Dubuque. We have got some great hotels.
Waterloo.
If there's any, let's say, vacationing Democratic legislators that need a place.
That's exactly right. We have a soft spot for you to land.
All right. Representative Bruce Braley, who I'm still happy to call representative, despite
Thank
Citizens
you,
United.
Stephanie.
Thank you, sir. Talk to you soon.
You too.
All right. There we go. Funny. Yeah. We like the funny Congress people.
We do.
Okay. Let's go to Susie in Ohio. Hey, Suze.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
You already covered some of my points, but I'm
well, of course
in Ohio
I did.
And,
all right, go ahead.
And a victim of John Kasich and John Boehner, I'm sorry to say. I did not vote for either one. None of us did. But I tell you what, I am so angry about this whole situation with Wisconsin and what's happening in Ohio.
Yeah.
You know, I think the country is going through a George Bush disease that we're trying to recover from 8 years of him. And we just can't, you know, we just can't get away from it for some reason. You know, he was in here 8 years. Look what he's done. And, you know, it makes me mad that nobody talks about that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, it happened. We're going to move on. But, you know, it's crucial to what's happening now.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So I wanted to add that.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. That's the stunning thing about Wisconsin is despite what George Bush did to the economy and to that state, along with many others, they were and are managing a lot better than a lot of states, had no budget crisis until Governor Walker got in.
Isn't that amazing? And, you know, there's still people that believe that we're still broke and we have to cut this and cut that. But, you know, when it comes to somebody in their family needing something from the government, like help, maybe one of their daughters had a baby and they need help, then they're in line, you know, then they're there.
Yep.
So
yep,
I just
absolutely.
Wanted to say hi and keep up your good work.
Thank you,
listen,
Suze.
Let's not forget about gun control. That's another hot issue with me.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. By the way, updates on Gabby Giffords.
Yes.
You know, continue to be good news, right? I mean, it's just, I hope. She's laughing at jokes and eating sushi. Hello. It's my life.
A girl after your own heart.
Yes. I would get better for sushi like that. Laughing at jokes, eating sushi, even spoke the word better when asked by her husband how she was doing.
Oh.
She's eating meals on a consistent basis, whether it's hospital food or sushi or matzo ball soup brought to her bedside by her rabbi. You can fix anything. I'm telling you, Jewish penicillin. It's my favorite. Her top aide has said that Giffords knows that she was shot, but doesn't know about the deaths and injuries to those around her.
Okay.
Which, because you and I were talking about this off air yesterday, is it's you know, I mean, it's hard to understand brain injury unless you've been there.
Right.
But I mean, it would make sense that you wouldn't want to further traumatize her in the middle of this. But that's the thing, is you wonder, like, does she know who shot her or why, or does she? But thank God, I guess, for now that she doesn't know the extent of it, because that would not help emotionally.
No.
All right. The other breaking news, of course, out of Wisconsin. Governor Wanker.
Walker.
Wacker?
Walker.
He.
Striker.
Said he's confident that Democrats who skip town to avoid voting on a bill removing union rights will return within a day or two, calling the boycott a stunt. Yeah, what he's doing, not a stunt.
No.
They left the state yesterday before the Senate session. Say they want Governor Walker to meet with them to discuss concessions after three straight days of protests that have brought tens of thousands of people to the Capitol building. If you've seen any of the coverage, it's amazing. Walker said Democrats can offer amendments to change the bill, which he'll ignore, and talk with him. Oh, isn't that nice? But he won't concede on his plan to remove collective bargaining rights for most state and local government workers. In ever-growing throngs of protesters filled the Capitol, the 14 Democrats disappeared around noon, just as the Senate was about to begin debating. One of them said the plan is to try to slow this down because it's an extreme piece of legislation that's tearing the state apart,
yep.
Clearly. With 19 seats, Republicans hold a majority in the 33-member Senate, but they're one vote short of the number needed to conduct business, so the GOP needs at least one Democrat to be present before any...
Oh, wow. Wow, so they got all of the Democrats to agree on something in Wisconsin?
Yes!
Why can't we do that in the federal legislature?
25,000 people were there yesterday.
Wow.
I mean, it really is incredible. Wisconsin long been a bastion of workers' rights. So when voters elected
Walker.
Yeah, sure. Along with Republican majorities, it set the stage for a dramatic reversal of the state's labor history. So it is crucial. It is a tipping point. It is really a critical mass of what's happening in Wisconsin right now. 45 minutes after the hour, right back with more on that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's life-altering. It's soul-changing. It's the summit of all human desire.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
She loved to do the wild thing. She said, let me tell you one thing. I need $50 to make you holler. I get paid to do the wild
thing. Oh, boy, I was on hold for a second.
I was going to say, the people that listen online have to hear that loop at the top of every hour for the last millennium are like, no!
Yeah. Shano in the chat room just said, I just had to look at the clock to see what time it was. That's usually the top of the hour thing.
Oh, you're really a sadistic little bastard. 15 minutes after the hour. It's Christmas comes early every now and again. Jim Ward's here early.
Mm.
Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Wow, the sun's barely up.
Well, you know why?
Why?
Because we got all that stimulus money, so now he has a spaceship to get here and now.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We got Wisconsin and
time.
Florida's stimulus money.
That's right. By union thugs.
We don't. He doesn't need high-speed rail. We just transport him here.
Wonder if George Soros can
with
pour
a teleporter.
Some money.
Hmm?
I wonder if George Soros can pour some money into California too.
Yeah.
Hello.
Damn it. Where's my Soros check that I keep hearing about?
Yeah.
That I keep hearing I'm getting.
Was I the only one who thought Big Eddie was throwing his hat in the ring last night? That he's going to be running for president.
Ooh,
yeah,
really?
I think
now
he might challenge Obama in 2012.
Let's go. Let's go. Big Eddie. It's your boy. I think he's going to run for something someday. All right. The president last night.
As a general proposition, that everybody's got to make some adjustments to new fiscal realities. We had to impose, for example, a freeze on pay increases for federal workers for the next 2 years as part of my overall budget freeze. On the other hand, some of what I've heard coming out of Wisconsin, where you're just making it harder for public employees to collectively bargain generally. Seems like more of an assault on unions.
Seems like. I agree with Big Eddie
See,
on this one.
I mean.
This is one time that you can't go down the middle on this one.
No,
this is provably he gave the money to his special interest buddies and is trying to take it out on the back of workers.
And Eddie's got the working people on his side.
Yep.
And Obama's appearing aloof and above.
The president has a carny though.
What he sees happening in Wisconsin, making it harder for public employees to collectively bargain, seems more like an assault on unions, and he doesn't see that as a good thing.
Seems like, again.
He said, the president did say some good things. He said, these employees are our neighbors. They're the teachers, fighters, firefighters, social workers, police officers. I think it's important not to vilify them or suggest that somehow all these budget problems are due to public employees. Well, in this case, none of them are due to public employees.
And again, he's going right down the middle.
Obama knocked Walker for turning down $810 million in federal funds for a high-speed rail line, although it got Jim Ward here early on his new, I just...
Even though it hasn't been built yet.
What was that? Is that Star Trek where you just magically appear?
Teleport.
Teleport. Yeah, we teleported him here. Okay.
You know nothing about sci-fi, do you?
He called it short-sighted, him killing, obviously, the train between Milwaukee and Madison. Walker said, I think most would agree the suggestions I'm recommending are far better than the alternative of thousands of state employees being laid off. Yeah, see, that's the right-wing letter, Jim. They ought to thank Governor Walker.
Yes, because I would have been forced to lay them off. This way, I'm just firing them. See, it's so much better.
See? Let's see what I did.
It's good what you done.
It's good what you done, Anthony. It's real good. We love TV night, Anthony.
Mike and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Mike.
Wow, it's windy here. Let me tell you guys, if anybody's within driving distance, they really should come witness this. It was so moving yesterday that I just want to say if the boner was here, he probably would have cried.
I'm sure there's some tavern workers there, so yeah. It's something.
Plenty of that.
Yeah, all right.
Now, didn't you have like a pre-show party at a tavern in Madison? I seem to remember you guys did. Or a post-show party. It was in the morning.
I think the whole show was a tavern. People were drinking, as I recall, the entire show. And it starts at 8 in the morning there.
Madison is lousy with taverns.
It practically is a tavern.
Madison is a tavern, exactly. Madeline in Sparks, Nevada. Hey, Madeline, welcome.
Hi. You know, I'm solidarity with the people in Wisconsin, but I want everybody to know that Nevada is in worse shape. Since 1969, by state law, state employees only are forbidden to have collective bargaining or the right to strike. That doesn't include teachers, policemen, or fire guys. They are county and city, and they have collective bargaining.
Yep.
Our governor wants a 5% pay reduction and will continue with the no merit or longevity pay. We already have a 4.6% reduction and one furlough day a month. Our insurance has tripled in both premiums and deductibles, and benefits have decreased a lot.
I'm guessing Sharon Engel has a solution. That is man up. Man up.
Probably man up.
Other than that, how did you enjoy the play, Mrs. Lincoln?
See, this is going to be a talking point. Paul Ryan said the Wisconsin protests are like Egypt. Well, yes, in a good way.
Yeah.
They're labor-related, yes.
And they're trying to overthrow a tyrant. So,
yes. Exactly.
Exactly.
Ryan
right,
said
Paul
the demonstrators are reminiscent of the crowds that forced Mubarak out of power. Yes.
Exactly.
Wow. Yes. Is there mini Mubarak?
He really hasn't thought on that analogy through, has he?
No.
It's like
no.
The same people who want to give George Bush credit for Egypt. Oh,
yeah.
So they were begging for us to bomb Cairo to get rid of Mubarak?
Yeah. Ryan said, speaking of Walker, he's getting riots. Yeah. First of all, they're not riots. And second of all, like, oh, poor Governor Walker. What? These people, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
He's trying to help you. It's like Cairo's moved to Madison these days. He said, it's just all this demonstration is fine. People should be able to express their way, but we've got to get this deficit and debt under control.
But not if I disagree with them.
Well, tell Walker to give the special interest. Tell him to give the money back.
So Walker was handed a surplus.
Uh-huh.
And he pissed it out the window.
Much
pissed
like George
it
Bush.
Away. You're throwing your life away. I don't know. All right, let's go to John in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, John.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Thank you. I was online and I saw your picture for the first time. You're hot.
Oh, thank you.
Well, I'm calling to tell you that I'm an attorney in Madison, and I own my own small firm here, and I'm heading down to the rally today. I've been there for the last couple of days trying to get in to speak, but they've been running in the assembly about 80 hours, and they still haven't gotten to my ticket yet.
Which firm is that? Is that Winker and Boner?
That's right.
Winker, Boner, and Hitchcock?
No, not here. Not this one.
No.
Just the opposite. But
it's in the Harry Balls building, right?
Stop it.
That's right. I should have anticipated a joke or two about the lawyers here, But I called because so much of the focus initially, especially, say, even in the New York Times, was about the budget and all those whiny workers and they got it good. And the first thought that came to my mind was to paraphrase Clinton, which is it's about union busting, stupid, right?
Yeah.
And that's starting to change in the big media. I did see more focus on the collective bargaining issue in the New York Times. So maybe that message is getting out.
Yeah.
But there were
the other anchors on MSNBC were giving Ed Schultz a lot of credit because, you know, I mean, this, first of all, is his issue. I mean, he's always talked about this, and he was out there first. And a lot of people are like, oh, what's going on? There's nothing going on. Wait, what the hell's going on in Madison?
Yeah.
You know, and that's why, because it's not just Madison. There are a lot of states watching this, believe me, and a lot of Republican governors. All right. Oh, is John Colbert of the Mic, our station in Madison,
next
coming
hour
up to update us and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
What a show we got coming up. We have the guy from Stop Beck.
Yes.
Angelo from Stop Beck.
From the Stop Beck Twitter feed, which is awesome.
What's the Kendall Beck?
All right. And veteran political reporter John Colbert from Madison 92.1, The Mic.
That's right.
Our fabulous station in Madison, Wisconsin, to update us on all the latest there. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Why, looky here. It's another unsolicited testimonial for nearly everything Steph sells. From Barbara in Columbus. Why, what a woman of exquisite taste in broads and broadcasting. Steph and the Mooks, two things. First, I have a five-month-old Great Pyrenees puppy that I named. Why, you baby? That I named after you and the show, kind of. Her name is Bellatrix Louise. I only use Louise when she's been a naughty puppy and needs time in the penalty box. I will be ordering Cedarside this spring so we can fight fleas with a good and safe product that won't hurt my dogs. Cedarside.com. Thank you.
That's right.
Second thing, I needed a good gift for my mom for Valentine's Day. I remembered hearing about ProFlowers while listening to my StephCast. Only $4.95 a month. If you buy a year in advance.
How much are you paying here for all this?
Only I've been getting it monthly for $7.95 in the past 4 months because I'm afraid of commitment. So I logged on to ProFlowers.com and entered Stephanie in the box. Who hasn't? The special flowers they offered were amazing. It was a very quick and painless way to buy them, even though this was the Friday before Valentine's Day. The flowers chocolate spa pack still arrived in my mom's office by 1 p.m. Valentine's Day. Everyone raved, and I told them it was all due to...
Stephanie Miller.
Sweet.
Keep up the good work. Thanks for making me laugh. Barbara in Columbus. Why?
No one wants a Stephanie in the box.
Everybody does. Oh, by the way, speaking of the Stephanie Miller Show, you can get me to do your voicemail contest, and maybe I'll even get Jim to do Kim Jong-il saying,
"Hello, it's me. I thought about this for a long, long time. Maybe I think too much, but something's wrong. There's something here that doesn't rest too wrong. Maybe I shouldn't think of you as mine. It's important to me that you know you are free, 'cause I never want to make you change for me. I love Todd Rundgren. I don't know if I him and Lindsay Lohan over to my Paris.
Okay, beef. And won't that be funny till one of your Asian friends calls? Here's your chance to win this unique contest. Subscribe to the StephCast. And between February 16th and March 16th, you're automatically entered into the contest. And your our loyal legacy StephCasters already, we're going to have two winners from that group as well.
That's right.
So,
and they need to do nothing. They are already entered.
Yes. Just you may have already entered me.
Automatic for the people.
Pardon me? I don't... Oh.
Yes, right. And the StephCast is a bargoon, and it's great. You can pause the Stephanie Miller Show whenever you want and come back to it at exactly the same time.
And you are supporting not just...
Stephanie Miller.
But progressive infrastructure in America. This may be good news for us. Somebody sent me an article. It's all coming together. It's a perfect storm, Jim. It's a tipping point. What's going on with labor in America and blah, 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 blah. Citizens United, blah, blah.
Whatever.
John Avalon in the Daily Beast writes a story, "Is right-wing talk dying?" This is our moment. Glenn, he writes, "Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, and Rush Limbaugh are losing fans in a key market. John Avalon on why listeners and station managers are sick of anti-Obama tirades. Here's another sign the tide might be turning against the wing nuts. Glenn Beck's TV ratings are down 50% and major market radio stations are dropping him. That's not all. Look at radio ratings show that the hyper-partisan talk has been declining or flatlining between 09 and 10. Despite the intensity of the election year, there are a lot of program directors whose radio spider sense is tingling," says Randall Broomquist, a longtime radio executive. "They're thinking this conservative thing is kind of running its course. We're saying the same things from morning till night, and yes, we've got a very loyal core audience, but if we ever want to grow, if we ever want to expand, we've got to be doing more than 18 hours a day of Obama is a socialist." But wait, there's more. The trends aren't limited to Beck and Rush. "I don't hear a lot of program directors who are just loving on Sean Hannity," says Bloomquist. "The attitude towards Sean among stations that carry him seems to be we're stuck with him.
Yeah.
He's doing okay, but he's not setting the world on fire. And anybody who wanted to drop Levin also carries Hannity has a bit of a problem because Hannity is very close personally and professionally to Levin." People are saying it in print now.
Wow.
"No, the one place where Beck kicks ass in the top 25 market is Tampa, and that's because his show started there." So he may be, if our friend from Stop Beck is successful, Jim,
Angelo,
it
yes.
might be Good Morning Tampa for Glenn Beck. anyway, well, one last, Randall Bloomquist says, you don't see many trade ads saying we need the next Rush Limbaugh, we need a right-wing hard-ass. What they say is we need somebody who can talk about a variety of topics, somebody that can connect with people who can do humorous topics, somebody who can have some fun on the air.
What?
It's a circle of what life. The wheel's turned in the process of turning, pin this format in the corner of all the conservative talk all the time, and I think there's a sense of fatigue there.
Do we know anyone like that?
Do we know any show that does a humorous spin
Stephanie
on the
Miller.
Topics of the... What? Oh!
Stephanie Miller.
Computer says yes.
That's the point I was getting to, Jim. Thank you.
Wait a minute. You do that Stephanie Miller voice?
Who knew?
What? Is that you?
That was a Jim-itation.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. I was imitating the guy who says Stephanie Miller.
And now, here's a story about a dog.
Oh.
Or a show that does a variety of topics in a humorous manner.
That's right.
Here's some music for my Here's a Story About a Dog. Driver's dog helps Oregon deputy make drug bust.
Oh,
stupid dog.
Darling.
Stupid dog. An Oregon sheriff's deputy didn't need a drug dog to point out a stash during a recent traffic stop. The driver's dog did it for him.
Ah, oh, boy.
The sheriff's sergeant was pulling over a pickup truck when he saw a sock fly out the window. It turned out to be stuffed with marijuana and hashish. The driver told the officer he was trying to hide the sock, but his pit bull mix grabbed it and wouldn't let go, enjoying a tug-of-war game.
I think that dog has a job.
Give it. The dog won the tussle and tossed the sock out the window. And the driver was indicted on drug possession charges. The sheriff said he wished everyone traveled with their own personal
back
drug...
back to the hits.
He said that he wishes all drivers travel with their own personal drug dog.
Yeah. He's lucky he didn't lose a hand along with a sock.
Stupid dog. Give Daddy the hashish. Stop it.
Aww.
I love it.
Isn't that darling?
That's a darling story.
They just hired the dog, the police department. He's been recruited.
David in Albuquerque, New Mexico on the boner. Hello, David.
Hi, Steph. I'm a big fan of yours.
Thank you.
Hey, I want your listeners to go on a computer and type out national debt by U.S. presidential terms.
Mm.
And it's about a 5 or 6 page that shows you exactly who feels they have the right to spend all the U.S. money and who's not allowed to touch the money. And that appears to be the Democrats that are not allowed to touch the money. It's pretty interesting, really kind of depressing to look at, but it should illustrate for everybody who's interested in who actually spends the money.
Yep.
Another thing, you know, I thought the tax cut that Boehner was going to give was the key to getting jobs. That doesn't seem to be happening. I don't understand what that's all about. And one other thing.
Oh, all right.
If I can.
Okay.
I know that taxes are a real big deal for Confederates or conservatives, whatever you want to call them
yes.
these days. But I was watching a special on History Channel, and it's kind of crazy, about the history of white supremacists or KKK, the history in the United States. And basically, the one thing that brings them down is taxes.
All right.
So I know that
all
they
right, David.
Paid taxes. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay. Huh? All right. Try not to have a number of things. And one more
and
thing.
And furthermore.
And in conclusion. All right.
Also too.
All right. I love you, David. I kid. Okay, Jim, I have a guess. For you. It's very apropos. It's very, very timely.
Yeah.
Okay. Who said, if a man tells you he loves America yet hates labor, he is a liar?
Todd Rundgren.
No. Abraham Lincoln.
Oh, close. They're both tall.
Who said only a fool would try to deprive working men and women of their right to join the union of their choice? Who said that?
Billy Joel Armstrong.
No. Republican President Dwight Eisenhower said that.
Lead singer of Green Day?
Here comes the zinger, Jim. Here comes the kicker. I'm a little giddy. I didn't get much sleep.
Yeah.
Who said it has even broken the Gdansk Agreement of August 1980 by which the Polish government recognized the basic right of its people to form free trade unions and to strike? Who said that?
Rick Ocasek.
No. Well-known union supporter Ronald Reagan.
Well, there I went again.
He was a member of the union when he was acting.
Yes.
True.
He was the president of it.
That's right. I saw some signs on the TV in Wisconsin saying solidarity. You know, they could have gone down to Chicago and found a guy who could spell solidarnosc there in Polish.
Yeah.
I'm hired to do.
Bring a little kielbasa. I've been standing on here in the Capitol.
Right. That's great symbolism, though. I mean,
there's some Polacks in Wisconsin, too.
I'm sure there are.
Yeah.
All right. The head of the Wisconsin Teachers Education Association.
As much as the economics is important, our ability to defend our students' right to a fair education is really what is on the line.
Did you hear Rush Limbaugh yesterday said the National Guard could teach your kids as well as the teachers could?
Oh, mm-hmm. Really? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I am not one of your fans!
Mm-hmm. Governor Wanker.
Walker.
Mm.
If anyone doesn't know what's coming, they've been asleep for the past 2 years. The bottom line is we talked about it. I was elected to get this state working again. I was elected to show that we could do things that would make the business climate better, to create more jobs in the state, and ultimately to get this state working again by balancing the budget.
Right. Mm. More jobs
then,
by firing people.
What I actually did is I gave away $140
million
to my special interest buddies, and then I went, well,
hey, where am I going to get the $140
million? We have $140 million. $1 deficit. Somebody must pay. I know you there.
The unions.
you there, sir.
It's like when someone gets mad and the person in front of them, they just hit the person in front of them. Oh, you! Yeah, exactly. Wait, huh? What? The unions are like, what? I didn't have anything to do with that. All right. State Representative Tyler August, Republican.
For a long time, when the economy was good, the taxpayers were funding very, very, very good benefits. And we just can, it's an unsustainable model for us here in this state and most states across the country.
Yes. Well, not while we're giving lots of money to our special interest friends and stuff that helped elect Governor Walker and other Republicans.
I think what's damaging the right-wing brand is having Republicans in charge of the House. Because you see what a bunch of clowns they are.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, back with more of what's going on in Wisconsin and Washington as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's crafty. She gets around. She's crafty. She's always down. She's crafty. She's got it crack. She's crafty. And she's just my type. She's crafty.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour.
Governor Walker, you've just with the wrong badger.
Thank you. Thank you, Jack.
I want the truth. No, wait. He wants the truth.
Yes.
You can't handle the truth.
Oh, boy.
1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Hey, you know what? Fine American article. We have to post this up on wherever my interweb thing is.
You have many interweb presences.
Sure, something in my empire. Robert Creamer is his name.
Oh, dude.
Is that who you are? What you do?
It's true. Stop it.
The unfortunately
He's
named.
Author of the book Stand Up Straight, How Progressives Can Win, available on Amazon.com. Hmm. Okay, hang on. At this moment, the governor of Wisconsin, Scott Walker, is doing his best to strip teachers and other state workers of the right to choose a union, negotiate their wages and working conditions. Collective bargaining, not just some procedure that is not appropriate depending on the whim of the employer. The right to choose a union, the right to collective bargain, is a human right. Every bit as central to democracy as the right to vote or the freedom of speech. The right to choose a union is not a Democratic value or Republican value. It's an American value. And then that's where those quotes came from. Jim Abraham Lincoln, Dwight Eisenhower, even Ronald Reagan. Standing up for unions. The right to choose a union, not just an American right, it's a universal human right enshrined in the UN Declaration of Human Rights. Walker was unsuccessful at stopping immediate and growing waves of demonstration. Now the streets of Madison look like Tahrir Square in Cairo, and for the same reason. Walker has become the Mubarak of Wisconsin, seeking to deny his people a basic human right. And like the streets of Cairo, a great deal is at stake in this struggle. Big corporations and the radical right want to destroy the right of collective bargaining in the United States. The Battle of Wisconsin is the first volley in a much larger war to destroy public sector unions, which not only represent their workers, but also become a critical component of the progressive political movement throughout the United States. If only some people would invest in progressive media structure of some sort. Oh, I'm
sorry. Talking to you, George Soros.
That was just an editorial thing. Unions, wealthy Democrats talking to you. Okay, so the Battle of Wisconsin is much more about the rights of Wisconsin public employees. If Walker is successful in Wisconsin, it will embolden the right-wing Republican governors across America to do the same, all with the aim of destroying the organized power of everyday people to stand up for their interests and prevent the masters of Wall Street from converting our American democracy into a private plutocracy. Across Wisconsin, everyday people of all sorts are standing up for the rights of their neighbors, who are teachers and snowplow drivers and medical technicians and secretaries and the folks who take your money at the toll booth. When the alarm sounded, people of all sorts responded. Now it's time for people across America to join them. Robert Creamer, very good piece. Yes.
How long do you think it'll be before Paul Ryan has to backtrack and backpedal?
I didn't say that. No, it's quite another context. I wasn't comparing that to Egypt. That's crazy. What?
It's not me. It's him, right?
Jeff in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how are you, Steph?
Good, go ahead.
Say, I was on Facebook, and there's a list of campaign contributors to Scott Walker's fund, and I went through and started finding numbers on the internet, posted some of them on that very page, and one of the numbers that I called this morning was Gordy Boucher, who is a large car dealership, Madison, Milwaukee area, and I spoke with their vice president, Tony, and his last name slips me, but he said that the right to collective bargain is not a free speech issue, and that
and that
Gordy Boucher stands behind Mr. Walker and all $5,000+ that he contributed to the campaign fund.
Yeah, well, that's why, you know, you got to combat this right wing spin, because it's just it really is amazing. Like, poor Governor Walker, he's trying to help them.
Uh-huh.
He's trying to save their jobs, the workers.
By destroying the unions. Yeah.
Right. Janice in Columbus. Hey, Janice.
Hi, Stephanie. I just want to let everyone know that one of the organizations that's responsible for organizing a lot of these protests is an organization called Organizing for America.
Mm-hmm.
And what people don't know, that is the campaign arm of Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Soon as these protesters started, that organization was activated. So the fact that he's not, he can't come out and say that I've activated my campaign arm to help with the protesting, but I ought to know because I'm involved with Organizing for America.
Right, right. Okay. All right. Thank you, honey. Let's go to, Jeannie in Madison, one of the thugs that's demonstrating there. Hello, Jeannie.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. I'm a 60-year-old senior citizen here, right here in Madison, born, raised. Went to the public schools, sent my kids, now my grandkids.
And so you're one of the violent rioters now, I take it.
I'm very radical because I was a 60s hippie down on the other end of State Street. But I'm not radical. I'm just an ordinary person. I've been up there all 3 days. And I want to say the first day, my grandson's high school, 800 strong, marched up East Washington Avenue to the Capitol with a police escort. Now, does that sound like we're in a state of chaos, as the State Journal has their headlines today? There's no state of chaos here.
Yeah, I know. Thank you, Jeannie. Yeah, by the way, did I hear a rumor that the cops, when they were told to go look for those Democratic legislators, they were like, nah.
Yeah, don't think so.
Nah, I don't think so. We're on a coffee break. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, John Colbert from the Mike, our station there in Madison, joins us next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm a social drinker, not an alcoholic.
Tuh, yeah, that's like saying rappers are really poets.
34 minutes after the hour. Ken, my right-wing love muffin in Pennsylvania. Hi, Ken.
Hey, Stephanie, how you doing? I see Bolshevism is alive and well in Madison, Wisconsin.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know what? I don't feel sorry for those people. They're being asked to pay for their own health care and contribute to their own retirement plan. That is so tragic. Mm. My God.
Mm. All right, that's one of those compassionate conservatives.
Well, they should just die.
Hey, Ken, they negotiated those benefits in exchange for a pittance of a pay, basically.
Exactly.
All right. Listen, we have a real reporter here, for God's sakes. John Colbert from the Mike 92.1 FM, our fabulous station in Madison, Wisconsin. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Thanks so much for coming on with us. What is the latest? What a scene from Madison last night.
Yeah, it's been pretty chaotic all week, Stephanie, starting with Monday when the University of Wisconsin students marched on the Capitol. Only about 1,000 of them at that time, which is a pretty decent protest, but not compared to, you know, 25, 30,000 yesterday.
Right.
And today they're looking at 50,000 plus, perhaps. And on Monday, the students brought Valentine cards saying, we love the university, and, you know, with little hearts on for the governor, Governor Scott Walker, saying, you know, don't cut the employees and don't eviscerate the bargaining rights for public employees. This all started a week ago today when Republican Governor Scott Walker elected last November, announced that he is introducing a budget repair bill to fix the situation fiscally for the state between now and June 30th. Included in there, which caught a lot of people by surprise, pretty much everybody, was not just calling for concessions for public employee unions in health care and in retirement benefits, which, of course, he has been talking about for a long time, but he said the bill also will include a provision that will, in effect, gut the powers of public employee bargaining, the only thing they can bargain is over wages, and that is capped by inflation. So even that is not the, you know.
John, do you think Governor Walker did not see this coming? I mean, obviously, you know, you've covered it, and Rachel Maddow covered it last night. We've covered it today, that the fact that it's pretty easily provable that the $140 million deficit was caused by him giving it away to special interests since he's been in January. So, you know, to try to say now we have a crisis that we have to, you know, take out on the workers does not appear to be playing either in Wisconsin or nationally, does it?
Well, and the question you ask, Stephanie, did he not see this coming? I don't think they saw the amount of rage that there would come with his announcement from a week ago. I think they expected protests, certainly, but I don't think they expected it to be this level, and I don't think that they expected the Democrats in the state Senate to walk out yesterday, did not show up for the taking of the roll in the Senate when the session was supposed to start yesterday morning. All 14 of the minority Democrats skipped town. In fact, they went to Illinois, so they were beyond the state boundaries and beyond the reach of the state patrol. Mm.
John, what happens now? What is the word you're hearing? I mean, are they coming back? When? I know that they said this is tearing the state apart, and they wanted to, you know, give the governor time to, I guess, you know, rethink this or talk about concessions with them.
Yeah, and the governor... He held a press conference late yesterday where he said, you know, accused the Democratic senators of a stunt in theatrics, and he says that he expects them back in Madison and to take care of business, to go to work like they're paid for, is the way Scott Walker put it, in a day or two, he's thinking. We don't know. The Democrats are saying, we don't know. We'll come back when they want to talk with the Republicans and the governor over the weekend. They're not coming back today. There's the Senate is in session right now. I just heard them take a recess. They came in at 9:30 our time, Central. And Central Time, and then went on recess because the Democrats still aren't here. So the Democrats, it's uncertain. They're not going to come back before tomorrow. And what the Democratic leader, Mark Miller, is saying is that we want to talk with the governor and with Republicans, and we're not going to cave on this. We want to have assurances that we can, you know, to make some changes. They're not ready to give in, as some of the Democrats, other Democrats are saying. Senator John Erpenbach is saying, listen, we don't have a crisis here, a budget crisis. We don't need to take any immediate action. So it's kind of open-ended, Stephanie. I don't know when they're coming back. All I know is the protesters are here today, again, en masse. There are thousands of them. Milwaukee schools, which had not closed, I should preface that by saying a lot of school districts in the Madison area, including Madison, have been closed for the past 3 days. A lot of other schools in southern Wisconsin, even some around the state. Milwaukee, the largest school system, had not been closed, but today they shut down.
Mm.
Oh, and
wow. Yeah.
So you can imagine teachers from Milwaukee are going to be here, and I see them already.
Yeah, this is
in
huge.
The Capitol. You can't hear anything because I'm in the basement of the Capitol, a tiny little office just above me. Is you could hardly hear yourself think.
And John, incredibly, just, you know, it seems like almost joyous and peaceful. I mean, you know, I mean, the right wing is trying to spin this, of course, like
thugs.
This is like thugs, and it's violent, and it's you know, and that's obviously not what we're seeing, right?
Well, it got a little ugly yesterday when the Senate was called to session around 11:30, and the protesters stormed the gates, the doors of the Senate, and were pounding on them. And there were 9 arrests for various misdemeanor, disorderly conduct, things like that. But no, there was no vandalism, no damage, you know, to the building.
Yeah, not exactly Cairo.
Nobody got hurt. There were no, even though there were some arrests, it might have been for, might have even been some outside the building for what I don't know. But you know, it's been pretty quiet. Yeah.
No Molotov cocktails or machetes.
No,
I'm guessing.
No, I shouldn't say quiet. It's been very, very loud, but for the most part, well behaved.
Now, John, you know everybody across the country is watching this. Wisconsin, not the only state, of course, trying to take on their teachers' unions. I love the way Chris Christie in New Jersey put it. He said this week he wants to separate the teachers from the union. I mean, isn't that exactly what, you know, it's so clear Governor Walker is trying to do, not just quash unions, but you know, divide and conquer among unions. I mean, this is so clearly political.
Scott Walker is, and his proposal affects not just the teachers. They're getting a lot of the attention, but it also affects, municipal workers, the AFSCME workers, city, county, the people who drive the snowplows is the way they like to put it and pick up the garbage is what the Democrats are saying. We can't do that to these people. Governor Walker says he's getting emails. He had 8,000 of them yesterday. He says the majority coming to his office. He says we're in favor of the steps that he's taking.
Sure.
Turn
on the television and see that.
he still thinks that he's going to get this bill passed. He says he's confident of that. I just don't know. We haven't seen anything really like this. We've seen a lot of, I've been covering government here for 35 years. You've seen a lot of stalemates. You see protests. Not to this level, though, and not to this level of discord where one party walks out the entire Democratic caucus in the Senate, leaves the state. I mean, that's
right.
Big stuff. And and they didn't do it without thinking this over. It's a risk for them to do that because they're going to be painted, as they already are by Republicans, as just shirking their duties as elected officials and not following through on their oath of office.
They are heroes, in my opinion. Well, John, I hope you will check back in with us, and we obviously love all our friends over there at Madison's Progressive Talk, the Mike 92.1 FM. We will talk to you soon.
All right, Stephanie.
All right. Thank you, sir. There he goes.
Wow. He had a radio voice.
Yes, he did. He was a newsman.
One thing that's a little concerning to some people is that the National Guard is coming back from Iraq to Wisconsin, and some people are concerned that they might be used like the governor suggested.
Nice. By the way,
some have expressed fears that the guard could be used to break the strikes at the point of a gun.
Oh, sure.
And this happened with the National Guard, then called the state militia, in 1886. Called in to break a rally of Milwaukee workers advocating an 8-hour work day, and militia fired into the crowd of unarmed picketers, and 5 to 7 workers were killed.
Well, right. And we saw what happened at Kent State, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By the by, Crisco in Madison. Pardon me?
Crisco and Wisco. That's his. Yeah. That's how he writes. That's how he goes.
He says, I explained to my kids why they didn't have school yesterday. I don't believe I mentioned pay, per se. My 11-year-old said, Mrs. Hook has to buy pencils all year long, like a million pencils, because we run out all the time, and she has to use her own money. I think there should now be a reality show where a Republican's smarter than my 11-year-old.
Yeah.
My 11-year-old son gets it. My wanker governor doesn't. Thank you, Wisco. Oh, and by the way, someone else wrote, Rod wrote and said, the Wisconsin protest is phony. This can't be a real, authentic protest. All the signs are spelled correctly.
Yeah. How can you have a real protest?
Hey, maybe they have really good teachers. Maybe that's why all the Okay, let's go to Bill and Joyzy. Hi, Bill. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, go ahead.
I'm so straight for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Anyway, you're talking about Mark Levin, and I live in the New York area, obviously, and I thought if he really had anything important to say, he wouldn't be preempted for Seton Hall basketball games. And the guy, if you ever listen to him, the only time he ever sounds happy is when he's talking about dogs. He's written two dogs about both of his dogs that died, and he suddenly becomes human, but when you're talking about, you know, someone who's having hard times or something, forget about it. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
He also has had a quadruple bypass, and he keeps talking about eating fried chicken.
Oh, boy.
So I'm not going to listen to him anymore. I'm afraid of hearing his head hit the microphone one night.
Oh, dear. No, we don't want that. He, you know what? I can confirm one thing you told me, Chris, and that is he does very little show prep. He mostly just reads articles written by other people.
He really does, and that's...
I mean, we all read things now and again that we think are important.
But he reads entire articles.
Yes, he just reads the entire article. You're cheating, Mark. Okay. But I only say that because I'm one of the most popular and funny liberal readers in the country. All right, he's furiously trying to find it. Do, 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 do.
Stephanie Miller.
Thank you.
One of the most popular and funny liberal radio hosts in the country.
Thank
you, Mark. Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, thank you, Mark. It's because I don't just read articles. All right, Chris, could you take your organ out for me real quick?
Which one I have four?
Wow. Where do you buy pants?
This one? Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Public employees in Wisconsin getting support from Milwaukee Catholic Archbishop. He issued a statement calling for Wisconsin legislators to abide by a moral obligation to fully consider the legitimate rights of public employees. He indicated he was speaking on behalf of all the bishops throughout the state. He said, hard times do not nullify the moral obligation each of us has to respect the legitimate rights of workers. He said, as Pope John Paul II wrote in 1981, a union remains a constructive factor of social order and solidarity, and it is impossible to ignore it.
Well, you know what a commie he was.
It is a moral issue.
Sounded like you were having a migraine.
I was starting to speak gibberish.
We're glad she's okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, scary. Exactly.
That woman from Channel 2 here in Los Angeles who was speaking gibberish on the air.
It was not an ischemic stroke.
No.
All right. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is a disgusting display.
Boy, you can say that again.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Shiny, happy people holding. Shiny, happy people holding. Shiny, happy people
laughing. It's the shiny, happy, clappy liberal show.
That's
51
right.
Minutes, except for Jim. 51 minutes after the hour. Guess who's on Monday? Chris Matthews.
Chris Matthews.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
Oh.
Got a tingle up his leg already just thinking about it.
Hey, he's president of the world! Bill Clinton, president of the world! You're like a one-man Peace Corps! What do you think?
Why do I even need a microphone?
Fair enough!
Stephanie, try not to call him any names
this time. We have kissed and made up.
Okay.
We're fine now.
Okay.
I watched that promo so many times for the Bill Clinton special on President's Day. I feel like I've seen the whole thing now.
Yeah. So he's right at the beginning
of
the show.
They were shouting, Peacemaker, Peacemaker. Yeah. Thank you, Kevin Spacey. Thank you for that.
Chris Matthews will be right at the beginning of the show on Monday, so you don't want to miss a second of the show.
I left the presidency, but I'm still here. I can do the whole thing. I can do the whole promo by memory. Can you, Jim?
What?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Never mind. Okay. Yeah, we were talking about... did you see the thing on the YouTube that we've been talking about? Is that reporter, the TV reporter who lapsed into gibberish during a live shot?
Serene
Branson.
Yes.
Outside the Grammys. Said she was terrified, knew there was something wrong as soon as she opened her mouth. They thought she had a stroke, but she did not. She suffered a type of migraine that can mimic symptoms of a stroke. And by the way, sometimes I know I do that, and Jim is right. It's just lack of sleep and drinking when I do it.
It's morning radio. That's what
morning radio. Welcome to it. We all do it once in a while.
Yeah. I did it like a couple of weeks ago where I was like, what the hell, huh?
What did you just say?
When I'm trying to condense something I'm reading on the fly, that's when I get tripped up.
She said, around 10 o'clock that night, I was sitting in the live truck with my field producer, and I was starting to look at some of my notes. I started to think the words on the page are blurry. Yeah, I did, me too, but then turned out to be reading glasses because I'm old. I'm old and drunk. And I noticed my thoughts were not forming the way they normally do. As soon as I opened my mouth, I knew something was wrong. I was having trouble remembering the word for Grammy. So she knew. Anyway, it's a migraine, according to a neurologist, is not a headache. It's a complicated brain event, so that's why it can,
Yeah.
All right. Charlie Sheen is supremely grateful. The Two and a Half Men crew is supremely livid.
Yeah, I can imagine.
He's set to return to work. He said, people need to understand how supremely grateful I am that somebody's...
Not grateful enough to pay their salaries.
No, not that grateful. Don't
be
ridiculous.
He's only making $1.2 million an episode. Come on. Mm-hmm. How are you going to live on that?
Crew members are reportedly livid that the actor can't seem to get his life together long enough to... at least I show up here, as drunk and gibberishy as I am. At least I'm here. All right. Do we have more Charlie Sheen audio?
Yeah.
He called Dan Patrick's radio show again?
He did. And we have some more of that.
Right.
Enjoy every moment. No, there's no controversy there. No controversy and fun and love and compassion and
But was there
freedom.
Anything that you said on Monday that in retrospect, after you watched the replay of the show, that you would want to clarify?
Well, that would require having a memory of it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my. Was he just implying that he was wasted during the first interview?
I think he was. Okay. Oh, dear.
Oh, you interviewed me before?
I bet you there's that. Two and a Half Men crew people listening right now to the show.
A lot of shows...
It's going to be One and a Half Men.
A lot of shows can go on without its, original star. You know, Spin City did that by replacing Michael J. Fox with Charlie Sheen.
Yes.
But... Two and a Half Men can't do that. The show is about Charlie
Valerie
Sheen.
Valerie Harper. I remember Valerie. Well, forget it. Sandy Duncan. They could bring Sandy Duncan in.
To replace?
Yes.
So it'd be...
They will fly her right in with her glass eye before he knows what hit him.
They should bring both Darrens back to life.
Three and a half. Edie McClure knows from Valerie Harper.
Oh, that's right. Mm.
She was on that show, she was kind of caught in the middle of that.
She was rudely replaced. Oh, boy. All right. Why didn't I have a monkey at my birthday party?
Huh?
Damn you, Chris. Paris Hilton celebrated her 30th birthday. I just had my 30th birthday party, with a squirrel monkey.
Well, parts of you, maybe.
Yeah.
Now is the time when we touch the monkey. She celebrated her birthday party with a
monkey.
She had a Moulin Rouge themed party. I don't know what that is. At a private house in Hollywood.
The movie Moulin Rouge?
I know.
All right.
Okay. It was at a private house in the Hollywood Hills, and the Bash had its own petting zoo.
Is that what the kids are calling it?
Mm. Yes. The miniature menagerie featured a lynx, a porcupine, a squirrel monkey, and a sloth.
You can't pet a porcupine.
Why wasn't there a sloth at my party?
You can't pet a porcupine. How can a porcupine be part of a petting zoo?
I don't know. You probably shouldn't pet a porcupine.
It was a joke.
Okay.
She had all of the there for guests to meet and was the blonde. Here's the part of the story that particularly got me. Was the blonde booty's first stop when she arrived at 11 o'clock. People go out at 11 o'clock at night, Chris.
Wow. Really? Even if I go out, that's... Around the time I'm coming home.
I just got invited to do a panel here, and it's a really good one. 7:30 on a weeknight. I was like,
really?
Sleep by 7. I can't. Oh, I don't. Dear. What?
Wow.
Could people go to parties at 11?
Wow.
Okay, I don't know. Uh-huh. All right. The IBM computer Watson has beaten the humans, Jim.
Ha ha. I have beaten you once again. I have spanked you. Here, I will do it again. Ha ha.
Watson, the IBM-created megabrain, beat Ken Jennings and the other guy.
Ken Jennings is a moron.
Watson got a total of $1 million for crushing his rivals.
Ha, ha, ha. $1 million.
Jennings wrote, I, for one, welcome our new computer overlords. That's funny.
You betcha.
Thank you,
Watson. You can take that to the bank.
Thank you, Watson. Justin Bieber says there is no cure for Bieber fever.
Oh, right. Well, thanks.
I don't know. He's.
I appear to be immune to it.
Me too.
Natural immunity to Bieber fever.
Methinks one thinks too much of oneself.
That's what one thinks.
Because he already used his name in the third person in the first place. Mm. Okay. All right. The Farrelly brothers want Cher to play a scary nun in their Three Stooges movie. What's not fun about that? They think she would be a perfect fit for the Mother Superior role. Comedy.
All right.
You know I love the Stooges. I'm a chick that loves the Stooges. Yeah.
I don't love the Stooges.
Will Ben Kingsley be Curly Joe?
Don't know. This is right up my entertainment alley as well. Vanilla Ice is set to skate to his song, Ice Ice Baby, on this weekend's Dancing on Ice.
Wow.
What's that?
I'll set my DVR immediately.
Yo, check it.
Yo, check it. Zamboni.
Freddie Mercury's spinning in his grave.
Yo. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah.
Let's kick it.
Let's kick it.
Oh, let's kick it.
Mm. All right.
All right.
With God, I love
on?
That. I love that bubblegum rap. You know how I am. Mm. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, we have the guy behind Stop Beck coming up. We have more Celebrity Stack. We got Right Wing World. We got much more from Madison and Washington. Don't go away at the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! Happy Friday. Angelo from Stop Beck. The Twitter genius coming up in just a little bit. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris Lavoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, like Camila did to say, these are my weekend plans. I don't know about yours. Watch a baby reenact what you look like drunk in a bar full of puppets.
Look at you. You have a baby.
Have you seen that? It's a baby in a bar.
In a bar.
It's awesome. And going around the interwebs. It's a baby drunk in a bar. It's funny.
Really? Is that funny?
No, it's not really. It's just a YouTube thing.
Oh, okay.
For God's sakes.
What?
He's up to, are those E-Trade babies really making trades? Because that's illegal. They're underage.
Well, no, I mean, the internet is full of babies smoking and taking hits off of bongs and stuff.
No.
I'm like, okay.
No. This is an actual creepy story.
No.
I'm sorry to have to... This is just weird. Mm. We mentioned Rick Santorum yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yes.
Whoa. Go ahead, Google him.
No. Ooh. That's gross.
Paula sends along some more weird stuff from Santorum. This is weird. She sent a Washington Post article. This is just weird.
Okay.
His he had a premature baby that lived for 2 hours outside the womb, born prematurely.
Oh.
Yes, which is sad.
Yeah.
Okay. But upon his death, he and his wife opted not to bring his body to a funeral home. They bundled him in a blanket and drove him to her parents' home. There they spent several hours kissing and cuddling him with his three siblings, 6, 4, and 1.5. They took pictures and...
That's creepy.
Oh, my God.
That's weird.
I'm sorry.
Mm. What is it? Wasn't there that story that didn't Barbara Bush bring home a fetus in a jar to show to George Jr.?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know that what Santorum did is all that out of the ordinary, though.
With little kids?
With little kids, maybe not. But a lot of parents of stillborn children want to spend some time.
No,
with,
I understand.
Right.
It's just okay.
All right.
I found that.
Okay.
All right. Jim, this is for you.
Jim, it's for you.
Oh, dear. It's a complaint letter. Bruce writes, as an American of Asian descent and a progressive, I was offended that you would have someone on your show that mocks those of Asian descent. The Kim Jong-il thing, apparently. Mm. He's, just so you know, maybe seem funny. It's offensive.
Mm.
Bruce Wang is his name. He's the Asian Batman.
Stop it.
What? He's upset, Jim.
I shouldn't have Kim Jong-il talking about youthful ward Dick Grayson then.
No.
No.
No,
no,
please don't
most
do that.
Definitely
no.
Not.
Kim says no.
We apologize, Bruce.
Youthful ward?
Okay. Shafe on the live blog.
Oh, we got to send people to see Kim Jong-il looking at things. It's a blog of pictures of Kim Jong-il looking
at things.
Pictures of one of them is him looking at these gigantic eggs. I think they must be radioactive.
Someone looking at a train ticket, just looking at stuff.
Yeah.
Lobsters. They've been irradiated.
Okay.
Excuse me?
How do you say that?
Well, I'm not uptight, not unattracted. Turn me on tonight, cause I'm radioactive. I want to stay with you. I want to play with you. I want to rave with you. And I want you to know, cause I'm radioactive. I'm radioactive.
Okay, we apologize again, Bruce.
Nuclear chicken.
Bruce, okay.
Bruce Wang.
Stop it.
Chicken. What?
Okay.
They're really Raj.
Sorry. No. I can't do that anymore now because.
And another correction. Tom writes, Staff, it dawned on me the other day when you were talking about the Disney chipmunks, Chip and Dale, the overly polite chipmunks, because I was saying the Republicans are being like that with the president. No, after you on Social Security, Mr. Pew. No, Mr. President, go ahead, please. I wouldn't. You were really referring to the Warner Brothers characters Macintosh, the Goofy Gophers.
They're the ripoffs of Chip and Dale.
Oh, they uh-huh. He included Lynx.
After you. Oh no, you first. Thank you.
Our apologies once again.
They were kind of ripoffs of Chip and Dale.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. I don't know who I was talking about. Hey, here's a story about a real life animal.
What?
This is, well, you know, I've had critter, Mama's had critter trouble.
I've heard.
But I haven't had this kind of critter trouble. A deer smashed through a window and skittered across the couple's bed and landed in the bathroom.
Oh.
That,
oh.
I have not had critter in Minnesota.
Well, if, Minnesota if something like that's going to happen, it's going to be in Minnesota.
Minnesota couple wake up to a deer in bed. Yikes.
Oh dear.
Colleen Slattery said the glass shattered and the deer galloped across us in bed.
Ow. That's going to sting.
When they realized it was a wild animal, Slattery ran out of the bedroom while Williams locked the deer in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be my job, running. My job would be running away. running.
And the deer is still there?
No, the deer
is
fine
now. I'm sure they let him out.
Yes, the deer was injured slightly, but it was let out, yes. Hey, looky here. It's in gadget news. iPads are replacing restaurant menus and staffs. What the hell? The computers
and
are taking
staff?
Over.
Wait a minute. I can see them replacing menus, but it's replacing staff?
Watson. What with Watson replacing Ken Jennings? Now look at this. Yes. When the new food chain Stacked Food Well Built opens first of its three Southern California restaurants, this one in Torrance, sitting atop each of the fast casual chain 60 tables will be an iPad that folks will use to design and order their meals.
You better give me a good tip or I will spit in your food.
To design?
An iPad can't spit in your food. You're right.
You get to design your meals?
Yes.
I thought chefs did that.
They plan to place 100 iPads in each restaurant. Diners will use them to look at the meal options, design their own burgers, pizzas, and salads, and if they want, use their iPad to pay for the meals.
Wow. That's ridiculous.
No people involved at all. No waiters with attitude,
you know,
nothing.
We went through the same thing with Palm Pilots back in the 90s. Mm. So it's just a fad. It's not going to...
Yeah.
This
Bill Murray. Bill Murray hates socializing with his workmates. Me too. I kid. I force you to socialize with me sometimes just because I don't have any other friends.
It's the only reason you throw parties. It's to force people to socialize with you.
I know you feel obligated to come sometimes. Although I often invite you to things that you just say no. No.
No.
So you have any friends? No.
By the way, since we had that hate letter, I'm getting all sorts of requests for Kim Jong-il.
Oh dear. Come on now. Let's not do that, Jim. That would be...
Apparently, dear reader, is a big fan of Eric Clapton.
Mm-hmm.
Rara, you got me on my knees, Rara. You're darling, please.
What? He requested Eric Clapton to be at his birthday party in Pyongyang.
I want Eric Clapton at my birthday party.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. Well, that's always based on a news report.
Sure.
That's why it's okay.
I will pay you $100. Cash.
Okay, so Lindsay Lohan is not going to be on David Letterman. Oh,
Lindsay Lohan?
Yes.
Lindsay Lohan. No, she's going to be here with me in Pyongyang.
Come on.
Never send us complaint letters. It just eggs us on.
In one of America's funniest parental pranks, is her dad, Michael Lohan, confirmed to Access Hollywood. He was the one who signed his daughter up. And then her management nixed it. My mom does that all the time. She books me on Glenn Beck as a joke. And all right, Paul McCartney is going to be...
Maka.
What? Great. Yes, he's going to be... He's revealed he's written the score for an upcoming ballet. I wonder if his lovely ex will be dancing in that, as she did with Dancing on the Stars.
The Unidex to Ballet.
As she did on Dancing with the Stars until her leg
fell off.
Flew off. Actually flew off. It didn't fall.
Seriously, you're right.
David Cassidy strikes a deal in DUI case. He will not go to jail for his DUI arrest back in November in Florida, but he will lose his driving privileges. TMZ has learned that means I could drive him now. One of my dreams could come true.
You know,
I could be David Cassidy's designated driver.
One by one, the people that you had on your bedroom wall as a teenager are going to jail or getting arrested or something.
All of my dreams have died now.
Although Bobby Sherman is a paramedic.
Yeah.
So
I know it.
He could actually save the drunken losers when
they
drive off a cliff.
Uh-oh, guess what? Remember the story last week? TMZ saying, that story that O.J. got beat up in prison is not true.
Aw.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry.
Oh, wow. I'm so lucky. Glad. That's great.
Yes. Is it delisted? Is writing, apparently when correctional officers told him about the National Enquirer story, O.J. laughed so hard his hand shrunk and the club fit. Just, this is this really my second Justin Bieber story of celebrity stack? Because this
what is wrong
really,
with you?
I don't know. I really...
What is wrong with me for sending you two Justin Bieber stories?
In an upcoming interview with the Rolling Stone, the last story here, he insisted he never plans on becoming a citizen of the United States. He said, he's quoting Canada, you know.
Yes.
He said, you guys are evil. He said with a laugh, Canada's the best country in the world. We go to the doctor, we don't need to worry about paying him. But here, your whole life, you're broke because of medical bills.
Wow.
My bodyguard's baby was premature, now he has to pay for it. In Canada, if your baby's premature, he stays in the hospital as long as he needs to, and then you go home.
Justin Bieber can now pay for it. His bodyguard's baby.
He could.
Yeah.
But in a warning, they say to progressives catching Bieber fever, in the same interview, he admitted he doesn't really believe in abortion, even in cases of rape. Okay.
Actually, his people have clarified that statement.
Oh, really?
And Rolling Stone has issued a correction of that statement. So.
And?
He
approves of rape.
No, he doesn't approve of rape.
No, they got it backwards.
But he did walk that back.
Ah.
Yes.
All right.
The rape part.
Did he moonwalk it? He moonwalked it back?
And he sat on the Chesterfield and spilled some poutine. And so I had someone pass him a serviette.
Okay. This is a cute story. And I just thought, I saw it on my Yahoo Interwoob tabs.
What?
Uh-oh. Another brain event.
Uh-oh. You having a migraine?
I have a headache. Can I go home?
That's just the wine talking.
On Thursday, a girl won a match at the most historic high school state wrestling tournament in the country, but she did so in an even unusual and controversial way. Cassie is her name.
Yep.
She was one of two girls who qualified for the Iowa State Wrestling Tournament. She won the opening match, but she forfeited when her scheduled opponent, Joel Northrup, officially withdrew. Blah, blah. He cited his personal fate. I thought he was going to be a douche. Because, you know, I got all my feminist dander up.
Yes.
But I thought this was sort of sweet. His statement was, he said, I have tremendous amount of respect for Cassie and Megan and their accomplishments. However, wrestling is a combat sport and it can get violent at times. As a matter of conscience and faith, I do not believe it's appropriate for a boy to engage a girl in this manner. Mm. It's unfortunate that I've been placed in a situation not seen in most other high school sports in Iowa. The girl's father said, my understanding is they've got strict convictions as a family, and I respect them. I don't have any ill will toward them. I don't think any kind of boycott about Casey being a girl.
Or he didn't want to get
beat by a girl.
Or maybe exactly.
But you know what?
Or maybe he needs to man up.
But you know what? Cassie entered the sport knowing what she was up against. Mm-hmm. You know, it was her decision to do it, so it should be the guy's decision not to hold back
in
wrestling.
I think we can all agree that wrestling is really gay. It really is.
Wrestling is a religion in Iowa.
Yeah. All right, 18 minutes after the hour, right back. We have Right Wing World, and we have the guy from Stop Beck.
Yep.
Don't go away, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your information slut. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
You'll have your chance later on today.
Yes, I will. I'll be running to put tarp over various areas of my house that are leaking.
Yeah. We're expecting
not so much in a sexy way.
Expecting like 1 or 2 inches of rain today.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. 2 inches of fun. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere. Barb checking in Madison, Wisconsin. Hi, Barb. Hey, Barb, go ahead.
Oh, no.
See, probably a thug. You hit her phone with nunchucks or something. All right.
Well.
According to the... All right, Dennis, my right-wing love muffin in South Carolina. Hello, Dennis. Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
I just want to basically say these people in Wisconsin and unions in general are greedy and selfish people. The governor...
Really, all of them. Every cop and firefighter and teacher in the country is a greedy, selfish person.
Yeah, because they're so overpaid.
From what I've seen in the last year or so, yes, that's the way they act. The governor's simply trying to control out-of-control budget, and they don't even...
Yeah, well, guess why the budget is out of control? He says there's a $140 million deficit. Guess how much he just gave away to his special interest friends in January?
$140 million.
Coincidence.
So you're saying So you're saying he spent $3.6 billion in 2 months he's been in office?
No, the deficit that he's saying he needs to make up on the backs of working people is what he gave away to special interests. Since he inherited a deficit. You can read it online, sir. You can go and look at the actual what he inherited when he came into office. He inherited a surplus. So if there's a crisis, he created the crisis.
Oh, he created the $3.6 billion they're in trouble with.
They're not in trouble with $3.6 billion. Read a book. Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, dear.
That was not very New Era of Civility, was it?
$3.6 billion.
No, $140 million. Look it up.
Yep.
George Bush inherited a giant surplus.
Newspaper, for God's sakes.
And couldn't wait to spend it on unnecessary wars and tax breaks for his fellow multimillionaires.
Take a bath, get a haircut, listen to somebody else other than Rush. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say all that out loud?
What were you saying? Get a haircut, you dirty hippie?
I'm having a migraine. I apologize. All right.
That's her dad talking.
Oh, I'm just kidding.
Take a bath. Get a haircut.
Get a haircut.
Get a job, you dirty hippie.
Run on a white shirt and tie.
Boy. Okay. In a deepening struggle over spending, Republicans and Democrats swap charges over government shutdown. Read my lips. We're going to cut spending? That's what the boner said? That's scary. Okay, he prefaces his mark by accusing Democrats of risking shutdown rather than to cut spending and blah, 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 blah. Let's see, Harry Reid responded the boner was resorting to threats of shutdown without any negotiation. Harry Reid.
We're terribly disappointed that Speaker Boehner can't control the votes in his caucus to prevent a shutdown of government. And now he's resorting to threats to do just that without any negotiations. That is not permissible. We will not stand for that. He's wrong.
And the boner essentially said, "No, you're up. What am I?"
We have some Democrats here in Capitol Hill threatening to shut down the government.
No, you don't.
Rather than to cut spending.
No, you don't.
And to follow the will of the American people.
No, nobody. No Democrat has talked about his threat to shut down the government. Nobody. That's Republicans you're thinking of.
They're threatening to shut down all the taverns. Oh, no.
Wow. Guess who's winning the fight so far? The teabaggers.
What?
With that bill at the center of the political dispute, Boehner chose the moment to open a second front to underscore his budget-cutting commitment. He announced Republicans will move quickly this spring on a companion legislation to cut wasteful mandatory spending. Isn't that kind of a contradiction
wasteful
in terms?
Wasteful mandatory spending.
If it's mandatory, then it's probably... Okay. All right.
He's drunk.
Yeah, he's drunk again.
Here's interesting. Some fun facts about Scott Walker.
Yes.
Oh, went to Marquette University from 1986 to 1990, but dropped out.
Cheater.
Just like Sarah Palin. And when he left, his GPA was 2.59.
Mm. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Sounds
all
like he could use
all the teachers in Wisconsin have a better education than he does.
That's worse like than my GPA when I graduated.
Yikes. Look where you ended up.
I know, right?
All right. Right? The boner.
Our goal here is to cut spending.
Yeah.
But I am not going to move any kind of short-term CR at current levels. When we say we're going to cut spending, read my lips. We're going to cut spending.
Well, it's hard to read them because they're always quivering.
I should have said that.
Quivering because he had the DTs or something?
That was the one that got George Bush first out of office when he said, read my lips. I should have said it. That was suburban talking.
In that time, 1.8 million private sector jobs have been lost. Unemployment is at 9%. And even though the president's people said that unemployment would never exceed 8% if he signed that bill into law.
Okay. Can't get enough boner. I don't know about you. All right. Angela from Stop Beck next and Right Wing World as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I get drunk and party all night. I missed work half the time. One morning I woke up naked with three Persians high-fiving each other on the way out of my bedroom.
Hot. 34 minutes. After the hour. Rick writes, Steph, wrestling is not gay, but boxing, two topless men in silk shorts fighting for a purse and a belt. That's true. Boxing may be a little more gay. Maybe. All right. Thank you. All right. We have we've been trying to get this guy on forever. He's all the rage in the Twitterverse, you know.
He really is.
He's Angelo from Stop Beck. Angelo and Carazone, I hope I'm saying that right, joins us now. Hey, Angelo.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for doing the Lord's work. So you started the Stop Beck effort. It has helped hold Glenn Beck accountable by convincing sponsors to stop advertising. You're also a director of Drop Fox at Media Matters as well.
That's correct.
So, you know, I love this because David Brock, who we've had on as well, has pointed out the obvious. He said advertisers need to be aware that they're funding a network that promotes a climate of fear and suspicion that could lead to another Oklahoma City. And I think they've done a great job, haven't they, pointing out actual incidences where there's been actual violence based on something Glenn Beck said.
That's correct. And I mean, Media Matters has done a very effective job of chronicling that particular information. And I think what's more troubling is Fox News' and Glenn Beck's own response to that. I mean, you would assume that, you know, a personality and a network would want to assume the responsibility for those kinds of things and correct the record, actually fix it so that it doesn't happen in the future. But instead, they've abdicated responsibility altogether, and it really leaves us with two choices. We can sort of fold our hands on our lap and wait for the next attempted assassination, or we can actually try to do something about it. We can attach consequences to the vitriol and deceit that comes out of the Fox News political operation.
Well, and you actually say here, you know, all we're asking is for Glenn Beck to be more responsible. My hope, my dream would be that Glenn Beck says, gee, maybe I should think twice before I say something false about an entity like the Tides Foundation, that someone thinks they're in great danger, so much so they strap on a bulletproof vest and try to defend themselves against the Tides Foundation. You said, my hope is Glenn Beck take heed. What would be your what kind of odds are you laying that would actually happen?
Well, unfortunately, so far it hasn't happened yet, and we know over 300 advertisers have expressly said that we're not going to financially support this kind of content. We're not going to support Glenn Beck's vitriol. We're not going to support his deceit. And I think it's important here. They're not stepping away because of his opinions. They're stepping away specifically because of the deceit, the deceit that has destructive consequences for all of us. Whether or not you believe in it, whether or not you're a fan, it doesn't really matter because there are people that really do sincerely believe the lies that come out of Glenn Beck's mouth. And as a consequence, they act on it. So Beck so far hasn't assumed any responsibility, whether it be through our works or through the works of Fox News' own sponsors. And so that's why we move on.
And Angelo, even a lot of right-wingers, particularly on this, you know, caliphate stuff, have been like, oh, boy. I mean, even Bill Kristol's of the world are going, oh, my God, he's really gone. I mean, so, there's been reports, right, that some prominent Republicans have even talked to Rupert Murdoch about how, you know, look, he's crazy and he's making us all look bad.
That's correct. I mean, you know, Glenn Beck is the face of Fox News right now, and Fox News is the leading conservative political operation. But the reality is that Glenn Beck is not really a conservative anymore. He's moving into far-right extreme territory. Mm-hmm. He basically just, you know, sanitizes Alex Jones and John Bircher conspiracy theories and then propagates them on a national platform like Fox News. And that really adds a lot of, you know, for most people it doesn't, but for many it does. It adds a lot of legitimacy and validity to those kinds of conspiracy theories. And that's where the problem comes in here, and that's why there needs to be accountability, because it's not just some podcast or internet radio show that's fringy. It's a mainstream network that is describing itself as a news agency.
And
that's where the consequences come in.
And Angela, we talk about this all the time. I mean, it's interesting how all these stories are sort of coming together, but what's happening in Wisconsin, I mean, it's an interesting, you know, you have Fox News, which of course is much more available than and MSNBC. You have millions of right-wing stations as opposed to, you know, six liberal stations or whatever we're on. And, you know, you're right. They have a big megaphone to just keep trumpeting out untruths.
That's right. And I think what's going on in Wisconsin really underscores that point, because they're able to use, you know, as a consequence of media consolidation, which is the result of deregulation, they're able to have this enormous mouthpiece that you really can't compete with. And then, therefore, Glenn Beck can go on television and say that the events that are happening in Wisconsin are tied to the global Muslim caliphate that he's been warning about since the events in Egypt started.
Yep.
And, I mean, this is what he's actually telling his devotees, that the events in Wisconsin Wisconsin are part of a global caliphate that's coming. And that obviously colors people's reaction to something that's going on in Wisconsin that's very real. I mean, these are workers who are just looking for their bargaining rights not to be taken away from them. But most of them, you know, most of Fox News viewers believe this is part of some Muslim conspiracy to take over the world.
Well, Angela, it's a very serious point you make that, you know, God forbid somebody does something crazy and goes to Madison like this guy went to the Tides Foundation because of Glenn Beck's craziness. I mean, it really is, you're right, it is. Because I'm normally not a boycott person. Any of us that have worked in radio are really not big on that because it can always happen to you from the other side. But, I mean, I think you're right. They're just, Fox News takes no responsibility, and you think, what else are you supposed to do but say, this is wrong?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I went to law school. I mean, I sold my soul to a bunch of banks so I can get enough money to go to law school because I love constitutional law. And so, I mean, I'm very sensitive to that concern because I don't want to take away from, you know, a marketplace of ideas that is filled with diverse opinions where we can vigorously debate and discuss them. But I think it's very important to keep in mind here that an opinion is an opinion, and a lie is a lie. A lie is not an opinion. Yeah. It's not valuable. It has no utility in our marketplace of ideas.
That's
and it
right.
shouldn't be afforded the same weight because there are a lot of people that have opinions that are vastly different from my own, but they believe them for good reasons.
Angela, why I've even said, you know, you just talked about deregulation and whatever. I mean, I've said, look, the fairness doctrine is not coming back. You know, you might as well, what I've said is, you know, wealthy progressives need to start investing in progressive infrastructure like progressive radio before it's too late because that's the only way you cannot, you know, I wish you luck with the Stop Beck campaign, but I don't know, like, as you say, you know, what's going to work or what isn't, you know?
Well, here's what I think matters. I think what matters first is that we attach consequences and we actually attach real consequences to the kinds of deceit and vitriol that is being legitimized and propagated by Fox News through one of their major personalities, Glenn Beck. And that we are doing very successfully. And how we expand and utilize this opportunity of pushing back. I mean, pushing back only brings us to where we were in the beginning, and I think it's important that in times that we push back, we use that opportunity to also push forward with a message and an agenda that is consistent with the kinds of values and policy prescriptions that we believe in.
All right, I've got your next campaign then, the Start Steph campaign. Let's go. Let's go. Angelo from Stop Beck, really great to talk to you. I've been wanting to for a while. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
All right, you too. There he goes. Great. Angelo from Stop Beck.
Twitter.com/StopBeck. Or even just stopbeck.com.
Start Steph. Let's think about it. Okay. Steph Pack. Come on. Here we go.
Well,
all right.
All right. We should have gotten on the Steph Pack a long time ago.
Yeah. Day late and a few dollars short.
Yeah. What kind of people do you have working for you?
Marco.
Rubio.
No.
What?
Huh?
I don't know. We're talking about the stimulus now. Marco Rubio on the stimulus. Here he
goes. 2 years later, it is still as big a failure as it was the day it was signed.
Oh, please.
In fact, the only thing it has stimulated is the national debt.
Oh, stimulate this.
What?
Nancy Pelosi responding to that on the House floor.
It proved that President Obama was a job creator from day one.
Hmm.
Okay. Yeah, the stimulus provably worked. Mm-hmm. Just like you can see exactly what Scott Wanker is doing in...
Walker.
What?
Huh?
Wisconsin, if you just go online, you can see that he inherited a deficit and created the quote-unquote crisis.
He created a surplus.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He inherited the surplus and created it.
Yeah. Melissa is in Madison. Hey, Melissa, welcome.
Hello.
Hey, Melissa, go ahead.
Hey, hi. I just wanted to say I am in Madison. I've lived here for a long time. I'm a mother of two. I've got two kids in public schools. Schools are closed. Very inconvenient, but we're working around it. My husband and I are both independent contractors. I have no paid time off, and I have crappy benefits, but I stand by my public workers. This is absolutely a peaceful and respectful demonstration. It is thrilling to be on the square and feel the energy.
Yep.
Scott Walker got elected on lies and a whole bunch of money, and by selling his soul to some corporations, he is paying back all those favors he promised while he was getting elected. He's paying it back with taxpayer money. It is absolutely unacceptable. And if you can, get down to Madison because it is
Melissa,
awesome.
Is Ed Schultz doing his show from there again tonight or no?
I am not sure. I've been kind of staying in touch because I need to work for a living. I make like everybody does, but I'm only paid on commission, so I've got.
What kind of contractor are you?
I'm an independent salesperson, and my husband is a social worker.
I was going to say if you could fix roofs, I would hire you to work on my house. All right, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. Let's go to Lori in Madison. Let's go to you. Hey, Laura, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
The Ed Show is showing from Madison tonight.
Good for him.
Again. And I just want to say, isn't it about time that those Democrats got some balls?
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
And there is absolutely no violence here, no matter
Indiana's what is not the only one with hairy balls. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, I think boy. You hear what I'm saying. What?
Huh?
Hmm? Let's go.
The building. You should clarify. The building. The hairy balls building.
Yes, of course, Jim.
After hairy
Barb,
balls.
Everyone knows the story. Barb in Madison. Hi, Barb.
Hi, Stephanie. This is Barb.
Yes.
And I'm finally back in Madison after a week of being in Chicago. And as I was driving through Rockford, I gave a call to my state senator, Mark Miller, to say, thank you for taking it on the chin, because I know what a hellhole Rockford is.
Yeah, yeah.
So I am now here to be able to go protest, and I wanted to say I feel like we are soul sisters of different mothers. I'm the liberal daughter of a delegate that voted for Miller, Goldwater Miller.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, wow.
Wow, all right.
I'm a former state president of Manal here, so...
All right.
Exciting.
All right. Thank you, honey. Appreciate it. You know, Harry Balls took it on the chin as well for the entire for Fort Wayne. He did for so many years, and now he can't even get a building.
So glad we only have 15 minutes of
he
the show
He can't get
left.
A dinner, and he can't get a building. Okay. 45.
Was he a teabagger?
Hmm? 45 minutes after the hour. What? It's the, you know what? People come to expect this from the waning moments in the Friday show. We're tired. We're tired.
We waning waited this afternoon.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour.
Very quiet.
We'll be right back with White Wing World.
It's life-altering. It's soul-changing. It's the summit of all human desire.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll-free from anywhere, Justin in Los Angeles. Hello, Justin.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
I have another unfortunate name to add to the list, and this guy, he plays on the senior PGA Tour,
mm-hmm.
and his name is Rod Spittle.
Oh, come on now. Well, he's no hairy balls, but... Okay, that's, you know what, all right. By the way, Andy in Madison writes, Steph, there is no violence here except for the old lady next to me forcing me to take one of her cookies that she baked last night.
Oh.
Yeah, I saw that, those sort of outbreaks of sporadic violence. Oh, and I knew it. See, I said this earlier, and Tommy sends the story. The boner is standing with the wanker.
Of course. What, Walker?
Excuse me?
He's standing with the walker.
Yes, House Speaker Boehner. Boner, watching events in Wisconsin, he's come to this conclusion that thousands of union workers are wrong and the governor is right. Oh, you are.
I am not one of your fans!
You are a boner. Did you see what he said about the president? He said he wasn't elected to just sit there in the Oval Office. He was elected to lead. And if he won't lead, we will. Oh, please. You just sit in a tavern is what you do. By the by, speaking of the budget... Good piece. What Republican budget cuts say about party priorities. As your family doctor would say, the Republican budget proposal may hurt a little bit, or more than a bit, if you're a police chief, a climate change specialist, or somebody suffering with tuberculosis in Zimbabwe.
Oh.
That's one of our, you know, humanitarian things that we've done forever, but By the way, the Republican bill would cut $600 million from Obama's request for the COPS program, you know, the community-oriented policing services that the Clinton brought in.
Sure.
Here's a little fun fact. Oh. The violent crime rate in the United States has declined by 40% since COPS was created. But they're going to want to get rid of that now. Here's a good idea. One Republican, they're helpful. Steve Womack, Republican, proposed an amendment to eliminate funding for President Obama's teleprompter. No kidding.
Isn't that like $700 or something?
He said he pulled it because he couldn't get an estimate of how much he would save, he told Fox News. He said, I think we made our point. We're asking people to do more with less, and I think the president ought to lead by example. He's already a very gifted speaker. I think that's one platform he could do without. Please.
No, he pulled it because $700 wouldn't be a drop in the bucket.
Moron.
Found out how much it was, and it's not much.
Moron.
Yes.
Okay, let's... Let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we? Yeah, how about all the people on Fox go without teleprompters?
Sure.
See how they do.
Yeah,
all right.
Let's see Brian Kilmeade without a teleprompter.
Oh, Steve Ducey. Woo, woo, woo. Okay. Rush Limbaugh on Madison.
So right now you've got Obama and his organization busing in people to Wisconsin. You've got them trying to bring democracy to a screeching halt. Mm-hmm. What's the point of having elections if public sector union bosses decide your quality of life, your tax rates, and all that? And this is not a democracy movement. It is an anti-democracy movement.
Oh, please.
What?
I don't.
How does he figure that?
Because
what's more democratic?
Always wrong.
What's more democratic than speaking up for your rights?
Okay, Michelle Malkin on Fox and Friends with a little Michelle Obama bashing.
There's been a lot of folks who've been vocal about the nanny state-ism that drives and fuels so much of this social engineering under the guise of ending childhood obesity. Mm-hmm. But I made a specific point that the science that Michelle Obama and her East Wing team cite as some sort of rationalization for expanding government power into these personal decisions, whether mm-hmm. it's breastfeeding or what you're putting into your kid's mouth,
right.
is faulty. It's shoddy science.
Mm, mm, mm. By the way, did you see Sarah Palin also mocked Michelle Obama?
Yeah.
Oh, guess what she once did?
What?
She declared October 2007 Breastfeeding Awareness Month in Alaska, so that would make
sense.
Wheel yeah.
of right-wing hypocrite!
But she did it. She used it to do a little zinger. You ready?
Uh-oh.
No wonder Michelle Obama is telling everybody you better breastfeed your babies. I'm looking at the price, and I say, yeah, you better because of the price of milk is so high right now.
Well,
they love her little one. By the way, did you see her? She was wearing a very shiny, tight, I don't know what it was, black blouse and a really short miniskirt.
Kind of an F me outfit.
A little trollopy to be president, in my personal opinion, just saying.
Yeah.
She stuck to her guns on death panels and on guns, for that matter, in a rare public appearance in which reporters were allowed. Goodness. Asked whether she's running for president, she said she's thinking about it. She said no one's more qualified, really, to multitasking and the things you need to do as president than a woman and a mom.
Oh, my God.
No.
Yeah, boy.
She predicted social media will play a big role in the Republican contest, and she said that's what going rogue's all about, getting in that book plug. See how she does that?
Mm-hmm. She's a work of art.
Sputnik. Stuart Varney and Monica Crowley on the
Fox conventional Fox. Wisdom is that if you shut the government down like Newt Gingrich did back in the 90s, you lose politically. I'm saying that's nonsense. I think you could shut the government down right now and voters would love you.
I think the American people would like to
yes,
see the government shut down, at least temporarily.
Yep, go for it. Yes, try that. Mm-hmm. Okay, Glenn Beck with his usual dreck.
This one is the United Islamic Nations. This is the one the Muslim Brotherhood is going for now. But it'll all look like this. It's a new world order. You know, and they have, they're organized too. They have the religion and the mosques and apparently help from Google as well.
Google.
At least in Europe, in Egypt.
Google's involved in the whole caliphate conspiracy?
Sure.
No wonder the second thing that comes up when you Google Rick Santorum is, okay, never mind. It's because Google's part of that whole
thing. Some kind of froth.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Charles Krauthammer on the Prepare.
It's the stranglehold that they have. And this would not be
unions,
happening if all of the states that Nina mentioned were in such huge financial difficulty because of the sweetheart deals that in the past.
No.
Politicians, mostly Democrats, have approved with the unions.
Mm.
And as a result, these are out of control.
Ah, uh-huh. Yeah. Here's something you might want to review. Okay, Governor Walker got a deficit when he came in, and then he created the financial crisis.
Yeah.
Let's see, by giving away $140 million to his special interest friends, it got him elected.
Oh,
maybe you weren't paying attention. Oh, Mark Levin, what better to end with?
This is about you and me, the citizens of this country.
Mm-hmm.
We're not on the sidelines. We're right in the middle of the stadium. We own the damn stadium and the whole field.
Mm-hmm.
This government belongs to us.
Ooh.
They're talking about our future, the future
soothing.
Of our children and grandchildren. They're talking about our money and their money, money yet earned. They don't get to make these decisions without our input and without our consent. And I'll be damned if I'm going to consent to impoverish my children and grandchildren because Barack Obama insists on it.
You know what? I'll agree to anything if you just stop talking. It's horrifying. All right, Laura.
He has a radio show with that voice?
Laura and Madison, you get to close us out today. Hey, Laura, real quick, go ahead.
I cannot tell you how proud I am of my high school students. I have a freshman and a senior at Madison East High School who were the first to organize actually a very large walkout on Tuesday.
Aww.
My son got home at 7 o'clock this morning. He testified. And he not only testified about collective bargaining and that this is what democracy looks like, he testified about my mom, who has Alzheimer's.
Oh, wow.
And if these cuts go through, we'll run out of money.
Yeah. I hear you. Keep testifying, Madison. All right. Chris Matthews joins us on Monday and much more. Don't forget to tune in on The Stephanie Miller Show.